from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report. It is the 26th day of April, 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett should join us as well. He's in Windsor, Illinois, and we'll take a look at the cash grain situation and tell us about things that have been happening on his farm over the past week or so. We'll also try to decide whether the late start to the growing season will have an impact on corn yields. The U of I ag economists Scott Irwin and Todd Hubbs have completed a study. It's posted at the Farm Doc Daily website. We'll have a short view of that, and we'll take a look at the ag news today as well, right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world on this Thursday afternoon. Let's check now with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Is it a beautiful day there in your part of the world?
Yes, it is. But this morning's lows that we had were just as cold as you guys had. This morning we were down in our low 40s, but now it's turned into a real beautiful day. But we've still got a couple days of cooler weather, and then things begin to turn nicer. But it was actually considered chilly the last several mornings for north central Texas, I guess, is what you call Waco, somewhere around there. So it's still relatively cool.
So I've been out and about just a bit, not very far, to drive around. And frankly, producers have not gotten in the field. Now, I know several have, and they have moved up in the northern part of the state, at least a couple there. My family's moving over in Logan County and has for about a week or so. But there are a lot of folks that look at the soil temperatures and have been saying, hey, wait a second, the lows are too low at night. And despite the fact, once in a while, I was out yesterday and took the soil temperatures here, and they were 50 in the morning. That was 8 o'clock in the morning. Folks really have decided not to move. And some of it has to do with the condition of the soil, too. A little bit cool, a little bit wet. And here we are on, the 26th day of April. And I suspect that we won't see a lot of movement until we get to Saturday, maybe Sunday, and those really warm days across the Midwest. What does it mean for the marketplace, in your opinion, if anything at all?
Well, I mean, the market talks about it, but it's still one of those seasonal things that the market really doesn't want to worry too much about planting dates or planting conditions until around the 15th or 20th of May. That is still the pivot point when traders, about May 15th, May 18th, or whenever that time comes, they'll look around and say, well, how much corn has been planted? You know, what kind of condition did it go into? What's the prospects of getting the rest of the crop planted in the next 10 days? And then it'll make a decision whether or not the market should rally or the market sort of just peter out and, fall back into a late planting low type situation. So that's kind of where we're at. Like you said, there is some planning going on. It's kind of hard to, I kind of breeze the Twitter wire to kind of see what some of these weather guys are indicating and what the models are suggesting. I just do it basically to kind of stay in touch so I can talk to you about it. And I think after this warm up, there's another round of cooler air coming in that may see some freezing temperatures again, especially maybe in the northern half of the Corn Belt. And like I said, I'm not a farmer, so I don't know anything about how that seed germinates, how many, what kind of degrees we need to have temperature-wise, how long it takes for it to germinate. But the last thing you need is probably that seed to germinate and then turn cold and wet on you. I'm not too sure what happens at that point, if it dies at that point, or if it warms back up, if it regroups and pops out of the ground. I don't know, but I do think at least in the northern half of the growing region, I think a lot of farmers are vulnerable to those kind of things happening. And of course, I'm a solar cycle guy. This is a solar minimum. And I think we're going to be a solar minimum for another year or two. So I'm inclined to believe that the default pattern is going to be returned to cold weather pattern. That does not mean that we're not going to see some warm days, and it doesn't mean that we're not going to see a two-week period of hot and dry weather. It just means that the default pattern is going to be cool. So, you know, it's kind of like last year. Once we got the crop planted, we stayed cool and we grow, you know, we grew a bumper crop. So the key here, probably more so than last year, is going to be the planting dates, especially probably in how quickly the crop grows. It's not going to grow very quickly if we stay on the cool side during the month of May and where we're at come, you know, June 1st. So, but I think the trade is patiently waiting to see kind of and try to size up crop prospects, you know, around middle part of May. Now, technically, today I would say is a win for the bulls. They had a nice day to the upside yesterday. Today was viewed more as a consolidation day, which Tuesdays and Thursdays are more consolidation. Friday is going to be the more of a trend day. Now, if we turn around and we resume the upside momentum that we had yesterday, unless things totally fall apart overnight, corn and wheat is going to close higher for the week with actually some weekly reversals to the upside. So technicians are going to have a bullish bias going into next week on corn and wheat. Soybeans were a few cents behind for the week. Now, a good day tomorrow, up 5 to 7 cents across the board, would also put soybeans in for a higher weekly close. And I think that would be a moral victory for the technical bulls for an argument that we're gearing up for a May rally. This month was kind of a little different. We kind of rallied during the first half of the month, and then we kind of declined from May 15th down here to April 15th down here to April 23rd or 4th or 5th. And then yesterday we turned back up. So I think the market makeup is there's a lot of shorts that went into the market between April 15th and April 25th. And I think those shorts are going to have to buy their way out. And I think we could close. We have a shot at closing higher for the month of April. And that is a major task. If the bulls can pull that one out, after starting at the highs of the month, we started April making new highs for the year. And then we, you know, advanced into April, mid-April, and then we had this hard decline during the middle 10 days. And now if we can come back and close out the month of April higher, I think it would argue very well for seasonal price strength as we go on into May and June.
Oh, man, you just put another million acres of corn in the ground.
I think before it's all over with, the guys that can plant will plant more corn acres because everybody's talking about all these bean acres that's going to come in. And my guess is that the people that have been planting sorghum are going to switch to corn instead of sorghum, because of the China issues, at least at this point in time. So, yeah, we may end up with more corn acres than what we think, but that doesn't mean that the yield's going to be any good. We got a long ways to go before the yield's any good. So, I don't know. I'm going to stick with my seasonality. just like I said last week, the horse with the best odds don't always win, they normally win. And every once in a while, the long shot wins. So I'm going to stay with the seasonalities, which says that the odds favor that we still have a chance to make higher highs as we go on into that May, June, July timeframe.
We'll talk with you again next week and find out how the month of April closed and see what you think about the month of April. Thanks so much.
Okay, giddy up.
Yeah, giddy up, baby. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Here are a few items in the agricultural news for the day. House Ag Chairman Mike Conaway wants to debate the farm bill on the floor as soon as possible in May, but acknowledges that it's premature to set a firm date. Congress returns from a week-long recess on May the 7th. On that note, a group of conservative House Republicans unveiled yesterday its own budget plan that proposes deep funding cuts and changes that go far beyond Trump's own proposal. The fiscal 2019 budget recommendation from the Republican Study Committee proposes its own farm bill featuring long-sought conservative priorities as well as a lengthy section on welfare. This version of the legislation is far different than the one that Conaway hopes to have up in May. It would promote what it calls cost savings by dividing the nutrition and farm policy titles in commodity subsidy programs by cutting PLC and ARC, eliminate the sugar and milk programs, prohibit new enrollments in CRP and CSP, and implement work requirements and block grants into the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. And finally, it would reduce crop insurance subsidies paid to farmers to 30% and eliminate the government's reimbursement to crop insurance companies for administrative expenses. Again, that is a far-right Republican plan. We'll stay with the rough ride for agriculture in Washington, D.C. at the moment. U.S. Secretary Sonny Perdue told Midwest Ag Senators this week that the administration has basically given oil refiners what they wanted on renewable fuel waivers, and that there was little he could do about it. Perdue told Ag Senate members he had no power to stop some 25 renewable fuel standard waivers that EPA agency chief and RFS opponent Scott Pruitt doled out with no apparent objection by the president. But the damage to ethanol, he said, is significant.
It's our understanding that probably at last count 1.2 billion gallons were waived in that regard. As you well know, our concern is that's just direct demand destruction. The RVO is there statutorily for a reason of 15 billion gallons.
But Perdue was not just prevented from changing the waiver decision. USDA found it difficult to get data about its size and scope.
And we had to dig pretty deeply to get the number of gallons that had been waived this year. The instructions that he was given last fall over maintaining the RVO obligation at 15 billion gallons has essentially been circumvented by the waivers.
This was an amazing and highly unusual case of one cabinet secretary criticizing another, while both men's boss was mute on the waivers. Perdue's comments to the Senate Ag Committee suggest the president may have already assented to the trade-off of RIN ethanol credit waivers for year-round use of higher blended E15 gasoline.
I am encouraging the president to go ahead and make good on that commitment to do that, while letting the industry, the petroleum industry, know that the waivers granted have been the essence of any kind of RIN cap, an effective RIN cap that they have enjoyed this year already.
So where does that leave agriculture when the EPA chief continues, unchecked, to oppose the RFS that still runs to 2022? Iowa Republican and longtime ethanol backer Chuck Grassley has some thoughts.
Except for ethanol, I'd have to say that Pruitt's pretty much right on other actions he's taken.
Actions which include dismantling numerous regulations like WOTUS, or Waters of the U.S. And finally today, have you been wondering what the impact might be of delayed planting on corn yields? Well, a couple U of I agricultural economists have gone through the USDA data to see what that might look like. They've got some numbers. Of course, it's a late start to the season this year, and despite the increased size of the machinery, University of Illinois agricultural economist Scott Irwin says it still takes about as much time to plant the corn crop today as it did nearly 30 years ago.
If we're basically operating at our maximum capacity. It takes about 14 days. And when we say days here, we mean field days. You can be in the field, not calendar days, to get the job done.
Well, the reason is simple. There are fewer farmers using bigger machines. So it is pretty likely it will take a while to get the corn crop in the ground, says Irwin. And that has some serious implications.
Our optimum window clearly closes May 1st based on the agronomic trials that we have access to. And by May 10th, you know, we're definitely into the late planting time frame. And it's hard to see, unless we get extraordinarily lucky with a planting window opening up, that we're not going to have above average late planted acres, both in certainly in Illinois and almost certainly 100% confident of that as you go north where they're still melting the snow.
Illinois analysis suggests the number of late planted corn acres could be 5 to 10% more than usual. If so, the impact on the nationwide corn yield could be between a bushel and a quarter and 2.5 bushels to the acre lost. Matt Bennett from Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, now joins us from his tractor and planter in a field somewhere there. I take it you're probably in Shelby County this afternoon planting corn. Tell me about what you've been up to over the last week, Matt. Thanks for being with us, too.
Yeah, no problem. We got started last weekend. Went ahead and planted some corn and beans. The soil worked awfully good. And, you know, it's a little chilly. Heck, this morning I walked out of the house, it was under 40 degrees. And you hate to want to be in a hurry, but the ground's working nice. So we got a little rain, you know, Sunday night, Monday morning, and then we got back after it yesterday. So corn's going pretty quickly. I'd say a couple of days we'll be done planting corn and beans. You know, it's a little slower right now, but once we start planting with two rigs, it won't take long to get that done either.
So I'm going to guess that you were pretty lonely in the field, meaning earlier in the week when you looked around, you didn't see anybody else. How about this afternoon?
Well, you know, yesterday is just when we got back at it. Saturday, actually, there was a few guys running in our area. Yesterday, there was a few running again, but today there's a lot of guys running. So I think that most people in this area are able to get after it, whereas, you know, Saturday, people were a little more hesitant, but, you know, we still knew of several guys that were planting corn and beans.
How many planters can you see from your tractor today?
Oh, I just counted four a little bit ago when you asked, so there's definitely a few guys running right here close by. You know, I think that this year the interesting thing I want to point out is typically whenever you don't have too late of a spring, people think that going to plant more corn, but I know a lot of guys have planted beans first this year, so I don't know if you can use that rationale anymore.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Has that been part of the marketing game you've been thinking about in your head?
You know, I think that is corn going to be able to gain acres with a good spring is a question for a lot of folks. You know, I don't know that everyone totally agrees with $88 million to begin with, but, you know, financially, it probably makes sense to be heavy beans this year for a lot of folks. And so I don't know that I'm going to get too far from 88 just yet, especially with the cooler bias in the upper Midwest. A lot of those folks are worried about being able to get as much corn planted as they originally wanted to.
Are you of a mind that this market should still be friendly to corn, because it has been for a while now?
You know, you wouldn't think that it would have been friendly yesterday with forecast clearing up and seeing a good window for planting, but then we focus a fair amount of our energy on what's going on in Brazil, you know, and there's definitely issues with the Safrinha crop at this point, according to most of the people down there, as well as the forecast. You know, if they do get this early May rain, I think that they still should have pretty respectable production. But if they don't, there's no question it's going to be very supportive to our market.
Well, good luck on getting the rest of your crop in, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, thanks for having me, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That, of course, is Matt Bennett with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds, out of Windsor, Illinois. This is the closing market report for a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenura is here. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's start in the Midwest. Looks like we have some open days. Tell me about those and then what the next week might look like.
Well, for the most part, the central U.S. is going to see dry weather over the next several days. We don't see much rain returning to most of the central U.S. until about Tuesday. At that point, a major system is going to move across the Midwest, and that's going to lead to a lot of rain for corn and soybean areas, beginning on Tuesday in western areas and then advancing into the heart of the belt once we get into Wednesday and Thursday of next week. So in the near term, things do look fairly good. There's not a whole lot of rain out there for most corn and soybean farmers. And even though temperatures will be pretty cool here through Saturday, it turns sharply warmer once we get into Sunday and Monday. Widespread maximums will reach the 70s and 80s across the Midwest for at least 2 to 3 days. So it's going to temporarily get better, but then probably a lot worse once we get a lot of rain coming in here.
So what do those rainfall amounts look like, and where does it land across the Midwest beginning Tuesday?
Well, starting on Tuesday, it will mostly stay to the west of the Mississippi River. So everybody from Illinois and east will not be seeing too much rain as of Tuesday next week. But then that main system moves out Wednesday into Thursday, and we'll see rain blossom across a big chunk of the central U.S. That will extend all the way from parts of the plains in Kansas and Nebraska onto the east through Iowa and Missouri, and then making its way into Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, probably even Ohio at some point. That once you're in Ohio, you're a little bit far to the east. But this is a pretty big system. We think a lot of corn and soybean areas will be affected. The real uncertainty, though, is not so much that part of the forecast. It's what happens right after it. There are some hints that it could dry out, but there's also hints that it could stay a little wet. And unfortunately, we tend to believe that it's going to stay a little bit wetter and cooler once we get beyond the middle of next week. Just the overall pattern shows us enough potentials there for rain to recur. And we think that's probably what's going to happen. Maybe not widespread and heavy rain, but certainly some rain. Generalized totals, Todd, over the next 1 to 2 weeks, probably in that 1 to 2 inch range. So not extremely heavy, but certainly not light.
Turn your attention to South America. I'm told that the Brazilian corn crop, second crop, or safrinha, is dry and is remaining that way.
Well, it essentially stopped raining there right around April 2nd, at least across the southern 40% of their corn production belt. This is occurring right as their pollination season begins, and it has not rained there ever since. So here we are now, 3 weeks without rain. We know the next 7 days are going to have no rain. It gets a little bit dicier once we get into the end of next week and next weekend. There could be some rain here and there in those southern areas, but for the northern two-thirds to three-fourths of second crop corn production, there is very little, if anything, coming up for the next 2 to 3 weeks. Essentially, their dry season is beginning a little bit early, and in those southern areas which don't have a dry season, they've basically been hit by some bad luck with a little bit of a mini drought here in the last month. So not an ideal situation for them. It will all come down to how did this dry weather setup time out? Did it occur late enough that it won't affect corn as much as it would have if it had been a little bit earlier? Right now, it looks like it did affect some key areas at some key points.
And finally, Argentina. They had been dry. What do they look like today?
Well, their drought is going to end in fairly dramatic fashion. We've seen a lot of rains in different areas over the last 2 weeks, and that's going to continue, and we're going to see a few more rains here and there. By the time you add it all up, we'll have seen 3 to 6 inches of rain across a pretty big area over a one-month period, ending here in about 10 to 14 days. That's a lot of rain for this time of the year. Normally, they see those types of rains in January and February, and then it starts to dry out, and it dries out a lot in April and May. Unfortunately, it's been kind of reversed this year. They were dry early, and now they're turning wet.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great afternoon.
You too. That is Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.